can I ask you another really personal question? Because we just ran the George Takei story. And because marriage is legal for gays in California now. Would you wish that for your daughter?
Well, I would wish my daughter to have happiness and freedom to make her own choices. The vice president said in the debate with Joe Lieberman ever so long ago in 2000 that freedom in this country ought to mean freedom for everyone.
Well, that's Lynn Cheney. She was interviewed earlier this week on The Early Show with Harry Smith. Interesting question about gay marriage and gay rights. Her answer seems so reasonable. Freedom for everyone means that everyone ought to be free. Does that mean gay marriage? I mean, that's one of the arguments that's made. We should be free in a free country, exercising our freedom to freely marry. Does it necessarily follow? We're going to be answering those arguments and some others often heard in favor of same-sex marriage. Greg Kokel is our guest. You can join us with questions or comments. We're coming to you live this Friday, September the 19th. 1-877-623-MYIE. 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Greg Kokel is a regular guest, founder of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, co-author of the book Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Midair, and author of an article in the Solid Ground newsletter titled Same-Sex Marriage, Challenges and Responses. Greg, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How you doing?
Doing very well. I want your response to what Lynn Cheney said there. She's famously the mother of a gay woman. And she says living in a free country and everyone having freedom means that everyone should be free.
Well, taking at her word, the part that I heard is when she said she wants for her daughter happiness and the freedom to make their own decisions. I don't have any reason to disagree with that statement as it's put. And this present legislation we're facing Californians now and will be facing others in the nation as having to do with same-sex marriage has nothing to do with freedom to make one's own choices. There is nothing in this state or any other state in the union that restricts the freedom of any same-sex couple to do whatever they want. This is a common misunderstanding, Todd, and I've heard a lot of people who object to restrictions regarding same-sex marriage as somehow not allowing people the freedom to do what they want to do or to love other people, as if somehow the present circumstance restricts any individual liberties or even liberties as a couple. The fact is, same-sex couples can do virtually anything they want. Their individual liberties are not being restricted. That is, they can find a place where they can walk down the aisle and pledge their troth until death do them part. They can have somebody officiate that. They can invite all their friends. They can go on a honeymoon. They can set up housekeeping. They could sleep together and live together and share property in common. In many states, they can even adopt children. So, as it turns out, there is hardly a single thing, and maybe not a single thing, that a heterosexual person can do. Now, I'm choosing my words very carefully, Todd, can do in terms of exercising individual liberty that a same-sex couple can't do. They can do all of those things. Now, there is a difference in the way the government acknowledges, regulates, privileges particular relationships. But since Lynn Cheney's comment was about freedom and many of the freedom to make one's own choices and many of the objections regarding limiting marriage to heterosexual couples have to do are made on the basis of freedom, the clarification needs to be made that there are no freedoms restricted, that same-sex couples can pretty much do anything they want, and our culture is very, very patient and tolerant of that kind of thing with a live and let live attitude, especially here in California.
Okay, let's talk about the live and let live attitude, which you say in some cases fails to recognize the simple truth that ideas have consequences. Mm-hmm. What would be the consequences of state-sanctioned, state-licensed same-sex marriage?
Well, I think what's at the idea level, Todd, what the deeper question is what is marriage? Marriage in its substance, that this is one of the key issues. What is it itself? It's not just something that the state invents. It's not that something that culture creates. And many people want to put it this way. Well, marriage, you know, is created by culture. And so since it's a construction of culture, then we can make it anything we want. We had it one way one time, and now we can make it into something else. The problem with that is, first of all, I think it's false. Culture doesn't create marriage, but rather marriage and the families they begin creates culture in the same way that bricks create a building. And as a culture, we just look reflexively, if you will, back at ourselves, and we look at how our culture is constructed and made up, and it's made up of smaller units that are called families. And they're a natural unit. You find these units in every culture and in no culture. It's the way that the reality is structured, you know. Human beings reproduce in small units, and since there's a long gestation period, parents need to take care of those kids for a long time. That's the nuclear family, which is the foundation of every culture. So it's false to say that culture defines or culture constructs family. Families are prior to culture, first. Secondly, if you go with the idea that culture constructs it, what that means is that families are very malleable concepts, that you can make them into anything you want. It's up to us to define however we choose to define at this day and age. Now, of course, if that's the rule, then that's the rule. In other words, if marriage is whatever we want to call it, and therefore could change it to include same-sex couples because it's flexible in that way, then marriage is whatever we want to call it. And why stop at same-sex relationships? Why not polygamy? Why not polyandry? Why not all the different kind of polys? And all these words are popping up now in the discussion because people are thinking of all these different possible combinations of relationships. Now, I know what the response is to that. I mean, if I said somebody, why not three rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub and a potted plant and a cocker spaniel? And they're going to say, well, that's ridiculous. To which I respond, you're absolutely right. It is ridiculous, but there is no principled objection that you can raise to such a suggested family definition based on the way you've approached it on this issue. That's where ideas have consequences. Once you change the definition of family explicitly by implicitly declaring that family is anything the culture wants to define it to be, then the sky's the limit. Or maybe the basement's the limit, depending on how you look at it. It can go anywhere. There is no principled limitation to what can be done. And that, you know, has frightening consequences, I think, for culture.
Okay, so what we're really talking about here, and I want to come back to the distinction that you made in your first response. We're not talking about limiting people's freedom to do certain things. We're talking about what we as a society are willing to recognize as something sanctionable or, what should we say?
The phrase I used was protected or privileged by government,
okay,
which is really the policy question.
And so make the case here with about a minute and a half before the break. How would you put it in a nutshell if you had, 5 minutes until the plane lands and someone says you're against gay marriage? What's your basic objection?
Well, I'm not against gay marriage because gays can already get married. They have the same liberty to marry that I do, which is to marry someone of the opposite sex. The government doesn't care about your sexual preference; they care about the gender. And since this is about government action, the question has to be asked: what is the government's business of interfering into private lives in this way and regulating and privileging certain relationships? It has no reason to get involved in my relationship with you, Todd. You know, we're friends and colleagues. Government has no regulatory interest there, but it does have a regulatory, and nor does it have in same-sex relationships, I think, or most other relationships. But it does have a regulatory interest in watching over those relationships which, as a group, as a rule, and by nature, produce the next generation. And that is characteristically long-term monogamous heterosexual unions. So the government steps in to regulate those unions for the protection of children. That's the government's rationale for licensing. And if the government doesn't have a reason for tampering with individual lives, then they shouldn't be messing with it. Let same-sex couples do what they want to do in the privacy of their own home. But that's different from demanding that the government, through an act of law, essentially, affirm those relationships as equal to heterosexual relationships. That goes way beyond the purpose of government. That is social engineering.
With only a minute, let's get started on some responses, but a general question first. With only a minute, is same-sex, is state-licensed same-sex marriage really a civil rights issue?
I don't see how it could be. The question, are there differences between the, how the government treats people in our culture? The answer is absolutely yes. It can discriminate in many different ways, and in fact does, when the reasons are valid and important. In this particular case, there is a substantive reason why the government should regulate the relationships that are long-term monogamous and heterosexual. It's because they produce the next generation. Other relationships don't do that, and therefore they don't even fall under the purview of the government's control at that point. It's like apples and oranges. It isn't civil rights. There is no right that is given to me as a heterosexual man that is not given in exactly the same way to homosexual people. Any homosexual can marry in any state of the union and receive every one of the privileges and benefits of state-sanctioned matrimony as long as they marry someone of the opposite sex. That is precisely and exactly the same right that I have. I can't marry whoever I want. They can't marry whoever they want. There are restrictions.
Greg Kokel is our guest. We're responding to some arguments often heard in favor of same-sex marriage. Our number 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Science lessons, they're needed in the church.
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the anti-racism book, Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots.
You know, I agree with many Christians who say that the church has to rethink how it's to effectively reach the culture. We generally do a good job of preaching and teaching what the Bible says about morality, for example, but increasingly, the world's not listening. Why is that? I believe that the church has largely forgotten to apply 1 Peter 3:15. You see, Christians need to give answers. They need to be able to defend their faith when it's under attack. And where's the Bible under attack today? Well, by secular science. You see, the church can't just teach Bible stories. Christians have to show that there are reasonable answers to the attacks people hear constantly about the Bible at their school or job. For example, we often hear how fossils and other evidence of science supposedly disproves the history in the Bible. It's time the church started teaching the answers to science questions, not just to spiritual and moral questions, so people can defend their faith and proclaim the Bible with authority.
Indeed, the Bible is authoritative in every area that it touches, from history to science. That's one of the themes of a book co-authored by Ken Ham called War of the Worldviews. We'll send it to you after your gift of any amount as we close out this week. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS or go to the web, answersoffer.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Greg Kokel is our guest. We're talking about same-sex marriage. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Greg Kokel is founder of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California. He's co-author of the book Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Midair, and he's author of an article in the Solid Ground newsletter titled Same-Sex Marriage, Challenges and Responses. You can get Greg's free Solid Ground newsletter, by the way, by calling their toll-free number, 1-800-2-REASON, 1-800-2-REASON. Ask for Solid Ground. Greg, one thing we often hear is a comparison made in the civil rights realm between those who desire state-licensed same-sex marriage and interracial marriage in the past. They say, look, it's the same thing. It was once illegal for whites to marry blacks or vice versa. How do you mm-hmm. respond to that comparison?
Well, I know this kind of comparison has great rhetorical appeal, all right? But it turns out that same-sex marriage and interracial marriage have nothing at all in common. There is no difference, obviously, between a black and a white human being because skin color is morally trivial. There is an enormous difference, obviously, between a man and a woman. Ethnicity has no bearing on marriage. Sex is fundamental to marriage. And by the way, so I think this misses the boat entirely. To say we were wrong about something in the past that sounds similar, therefore we must be wrong about this situation in the present, is a kind of a logical error. You have to demonstrate that there was a relevant similarity between the two. And in this particular case, the only similarity is that each group is being denied state-sanctioned marriage. But the differences, are, as I just pointed out, are very significant. Look, would this kind of argument work to justify polygamous or even incestuous unions? What if I said, hey, I want to marry a bunch of women or members of my own family? And then somebody else says, hey, you can't do that. That's wrong. And then I say, well, people in the past said interracial marriage was wrong, too. So there you go. They were wrong then, and you're wrong now. You can see that this doesn't work. I hope your listeners can see that. Just because the objection is the same doesn't mean that the circumstances are the same. The circumstances are entirely different. And that's why I don't think that this challenge ought to work. Now, it does persuade some people who are not thinking carefully about it, but it shouldn't, because these are entirely different circumstances.
If the voters in a state, California, any place else, decided that they wanted to prohibit once and for all in law and constitution the state sanctioning of same-sex marriage, would they be denying individuals in that state the freedom to love whomever they wanted to love?
I don't see how that could possibly be. This is another thing that I've heard before. You're not allowing us to love who we want to love. I said, what do you mean you're not allowing us to love? How does that keep you from loving anybody? You can love whoever you want. If all you're concerned about is loving, you can love whoever you want. No one's stopping that. We're not even stopping behaviors. Because the state doesn't sanction the behavior doesn't mean that you aren't free to pursue the behavior. Because the state doesn't sanction the relationship doesn't mean you're not free to pursue the relationship. I mean, this is another one of those things, Todd, that is that is rhetorically persuasive to some people, but it has no bearing whatsoever on the circumstance. A variation of that is marriage is about love, you know, and therefore if you don't let us get married, you're not letting us love. And one of the other thoughts that I have about this, Todd, is marriage is not about love. Ask any married person, you know, and I, it's kind of tongue in cheek. But the point is that if marriage were just about love, then you wouldn't need any promises at weddings to stay married through thick and through thin, till death do us part, you know, kind of thing, because love would keep you there anyway. But you have those kinds of pledges that C.S. Lewis has pointed out, precisely because there are times when love evades you in a long-term relationship, and it is the commitment for something else, the stability of this long-term relationship, that you make these pledges and you make these vows. Marriage is not about love. By the way, if marriage were about love, then millions and millions, indeed billions of people in this world who thought they were married never were, because that isn't the thing that is the foundation of their relationship. Maybe they got married by arranged relationships. Maybe they don't feel loving anymore. They're still married. Marriage is something else. Love may be the motivation people choose to tie the knot, but it is not the essence of marriage.
Do we begin to see here kind of the real goal, whether it is recognized or not, in pursuing a state-licensed same-sex marriage? Not so much an issue of broadening rights, not so much an issue of taking down even restrictions, but the desire for legitimacy.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Todd. When you look closely at these challenges, most of them do not hold water. In fact, I think none of them ultimately do. Clearly, when it comes not to individuals who have the same liberties, but to couples, relationships, they don't have the same recognition under the law. But as I pointed out, this is apples and oranges. They shouldn't have the same recognition because the thing that justifies the government's involvement with these long-term monogamous heterosexual unions doesn't apply to same-sex unions. And so, therefore, the government shouldn't be involved. So why is it this push? I don't know how old you are, Todd. I think you're not too much younger than me, but I remember the time when it was, people would say, well, why should we get married? Why should we have that piece of paper? I can have a relationship without it. It's curious that heterosexual couples are have kind of eschewed the piece of paper as insignificant, and same-sex couples now are clamoring after it with a passion. Why? Not because it gives them more liberties, but because it gives them respect. It doesn't give them rights, but it's respect that they're after. And because this is a way, Todd, for the rest of the culture to officially declare through the machinery of government that there is no difference between heterosexual relationships and same-sex relationships. They're exactly the same. And by the way, once this is stated officially by the local government, it's going to be very difficult in those jurisdictions to say otherwise in other things. That is, if the state says heterosexual relationships are the same as same-sex relationships, then if you can't teach in school otherwise because the state has already spoken. You can't say that same-sex relationships are not ideal, they're not the best, they're not what God intended, because now you're opposing the official position of the state, and this can have ramifications. And it has had ramifications in other countries where these kinds of actions have been taken. People are silenced. They're persecuted, in fact, for taking these positions, and especially Christians who, using the scripture, have moral problems with homosexuality.
I guess that raises another one that we probably need to deal with at this juncture, and that is any opposition to same-sex marriage must be, by definition, a religious opposition. And this is really just a terrible mixing of church and state to impose your religious views through governmental action or inaction.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and there's actually a couple points of confusion on that objection, and one of them is the phrase separation of church and state. This term doesn't appear in the Constitution. There's a different phrase that is used to describe this issue, and that's in the First Amendment, and it's the language of non-establishment. The problem with the separation of church and state language, which is the popular way of referring to that now, is it kind of views the church way over on one side and the state way over on the other, and never the twain shall meet in any way whatsoever. So if you're a religious person or have religious convictions or involved in religious movements, you're in the church side of the equation, and implicitly you are discouraged from participating in the civic project of voting and being involved in public debate. You're disqualified. People say, well, you have religious motivations. That's a religious view. Well, though some people will advance religious arguments against same-sex marriage, as you know, Todd, we've talked about this before, Stand to Reason never takes a religious I got to back up and be careful how I say this. We do not use religious arguments in order to persuade people who are not religiously inclined, especially not Christian. We are willing to discuss this issue in the public square based on arguments that are entirely accessible to people without religious convictions, so that my arguments do not trade on my spiritual convictions. They trade on other things. If I am capable of making a completely secular argument against something like same-sex marriage, then it can't be said that this is somehow an illicit marriage between church and state, and that my opinion and my point of view should not be heard or should not be reflected in law.
Folks, it's Friday, September the 19th. What kind of arguments have you heard in favor of same-sex marriage? Give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We do have a link to Greg Kokel's article, Same-Sex Marriage Challenges and Responses, on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Look on the on-demand section, issuesetc.org. Monday on the program, God the Son with Pastor Peter Bender. We'll continue our series on the Apostles' Creed. Then Tuesday on Issues Etc., Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. We've done Christ Alone, Grace Alone. On Tuesday next week with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Faith Alone, our series on the great solas of the Reformation. When we come back, someone might say, look, the age for marriage has changed. Race is another factor that's changed there. The idea of what marriage is, divorce and laws pertaining to that have changed. So hasn't marriage been constantly under redefinition? We'll respond to that after this.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Greg Kokol discussing same-sex marriage and responding to arguments often heard in favor of it. 1-877-623-MY-IE, talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's go to the phones and talk with Shauna in Kansas City. Shauna, thank you for waiting and welcome.
Hi. I had a quick comment slash question. I was recently debating with my brother about homosexuality being a sin, and he went with more of a legal standpoint of why he was objecting to the whole sin-related part of it. So going along with that, I was trying to discuss with him, you know, there needs to be a difference between homosexual marriage and heterosexual marriage, if that should ever come about. And his main complaint really was that the rights that a heterosexual couple are actually able to receive, like in being able to contact in emergency situations with hospitals and stuff, isn't afforded to homosexual couples. And so I didn't know if that was really an issue, because I didn't know where he got that information from, but I just wanted to know if you guys knew anything about it.
Shauna, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in, Casey.
Yeah, Shauna, that's something that comes up a lot in these kinds of discussions as, like, this is a great inequity. The fact is I can't contact Todd directly, if Todd was in an emergency room or something like that, but close family members could. Now, that group can be expanded by common consent, In other words, Todd could make that available, but it isn't automatically legally available. And the question really is, if this is the main thing, the emergency notification thing, why do we have to redefine all of social structures in society in order to accommodate this concern? There are other ways to simply accommodate those concerns. You don't have to restructure society. Todd brought up the issue earlier that ideas of consequences, and this is no different. And so it can be that we can respond to needs or relational concerns in an equitable fashion without restructuring society. And that's the way I would go with this thing.
So we don't have to change, we don't have to even touch upon marriage to solve that problem, is what you're saying.
No, no, and this, that's one of those things. What's going on here is the desire for acceptance. The best way to get acceptance is to get a government approval through the sanction of marriage for same-sex couples. So how do you get people to believe in that when this has been, let's face it, a bizarre idea in the past to people? Well, you play on their emotions. You construct this picture of an emergency room where same-sex couples, one is hurt and the other one can't see the one that he loves and that he's close to. Well, that is a touching circumstance, and you want to respond to that kind of thing out of sympathy for them. But is it right to change the structure of society, to change these institutions that are so foundational to our well-being in order to accommodate that need? That's not the right way to go about that.
Herman is listening in Illinois. Herman, thank you for waiting and welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Kokol,
yes.
You've done a good job of bringing out some things here that the heterosexual couples for the past several decades don't want the piece of paper, but the homosexual couples do for the purposes of legal and public legitimacy.
Right.
Now, from that position, it would seem that you bring in assumptions that because society didn't allow this in the past, but now will or can come about, that the position of allowing same-sex marriages is now the right position given society has evolved. Therefore, it, in terms of the homosexual movement and their political influence, becomes a superior position so that they can now go into the public schools, as in California, and use it as a propaganda platform for the
Well, that is what's happened
generation.
In this state. Yeah, that has happened in this state. It becomes the norm, and so then it becomes you know, not only politically incorrect, but actually politically contrary to policy and almost illegal in some cases to promote as better than heterosexual relationships over same-sex relationships. I mean, that's actually happening. In fact, in the state of California, I just saw this article today, Todd, and I don't know if you've seen it, is that here's a couple that got married in the state of California. Now the marriage license doesn't say bride and groom on the marriage license application. It says Party A and Party B. And they just were so offended by that, they crossed out Party A and Party B. They wrote bride and groom, filled out the form, got married, and now the state is not recognizing their marriage, because they crossed off Party A and Party B and put bride and groom. I mean, it's almost in like some kind of perverse way. Now in the state of California, heterosexual couples cannot get married if they want to get married as heterosexual couples. They can only get married if they get married as non-sexual couples, you know, Party A and Party B. You know, so I mean, this isn't a wedding, it's a merger, for goodness sake. So these are the kinds of ramifications that take place in law. This is the ripple effect of having same-sex unions, because essentially the same-sex unions are an official way of describing that there's no distinction between same-sex unions and heterosexual unions. And if you want to try to make the case in any way whatsoever, the state's going to oppose you. That's what's happening in California, at least.
Andy's listening in Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. This nonsense about worrying about having to jump through some legal hoops in order to obtain some legal status is nonsense. When I took over the care of my father prior to his death, he and I had to go to a lawyer and we had to jump through some legal hoops. And that gave me all of the authority that I needed to act in his stead.
Right.
And right. There's no reason that homosexual people can't jump through the same legal hoops that I jumped through to take care of my father.
Andy, thank you.
It's not burdensome either. It's not such a big deal. This happens all the time. I have power of authority over my mom's estate for the same reason that you have over your dad's. So there are other ways to solve these, what appear to, they're not even inequities, they're just inconveniences, and those can be resolved. But again, these are the kinds of things that tug at the heartstrings of people, and they say, well, let's just all solve it one fell swoop by letting them get married, and we'll acknowledge that and affirm them and give them a license. And, of course, that's a huge step. That's social engineering, and these ideas have consequences.
What's going to happen to the same-sex marriage initiative in your state of California, Greg?
Well, my last reading on it just a couple days ago was 55-45 against. What that means is that the initiative establishes a constitutional amendment that makes marriage between a man and a woman the norm, and therefore, if that is, those who are in favor of same-sex marriage want this to be defeated. Right now, those who want this to be defeated are 55%, and those who are in favor of this amendment are 45%. This is terrible news for people on my side of the equation. And it also, I just heard the other day that only 25% of evangelical Christians are even registered to vote, which infuriated me. To consider the impact we could have for good on this country if we just exercised our civic duty by registering and then voting and doing nothing else, yet we won't even do that, drives me nutty.
What did you make of actor Brad Pitt, the story of him donating some $100,000 to support the same-sex marriage initiative?
I didn't hear about that, so I don't know what his motivations were. It doesn't surprise me in a certain sense because he represents a value system in Hollywood that's entirely in favor of it. I don't know what his personal interest would be that he'd give $100,000 to that. I do know he's given to other causes like to Katrina and stuff. He's been heavily involved with that, and that's commendable. He probably considers this just another human rights effort on behalf of same-sex couples. But, you know, if you want, he could have given that money to a crisis pregnancy center and done a lot more good with it.
So if just a bottom line, 30 seconds, if California does finally, after all of its legal wranglings, end up with legal and recognized same-sex marriage, will it mean an expansion of rights for everyone, greater freedom? 30 seconds.
No, it doesn't mean greater freedoms. What it means is a change in culture and society. And remember, the dominoes fall from the West Coast to the East Coast. So what happens here in California is going to have an effect everywhere else. And I guarantee you this is not going to be good. You're going to see an increase of oppressiveness towards religious people on this particular issue. Mark my words.
Greg Kokel is founder of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, co-author of the book Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Mid-Air, author of an article in the Solid Ground newsletter titled Same-Sex Marriage, Challenges and Responses. We've got a link posted to Greg Kokel and Stand to Reason at our website, issuesetc.org, under the On Demand section, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand. Greg, thank you for being our guest.
Great talking with you again, Todd, anytime.
Monday on the program, God the Son, with Pastor Peter Bender. We started this section on the Apostles' Creed, and since it is the majority of the Apostles' Creed, the article on God the Son, we needed to break it into two parts. We'll do part two of God the Son with Pastor Peter Bender Monday on the program. Then Tuesday on Issues Etc., Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will join us to continue another series, this on the solas of the Reformation. We've done Christ alone, we've done grace alone. It's time to do faith alone. Now, that's the one with the bone of contention in it, especially with regard to our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. They say you just can't say faith alone because the Bible doesn't say faith alone. We'll find out whether that's true Tuesday on Issues Etc. It really is about legitimacy. It's about having your behavior and your lifestyle viewed as legitimate, sanctioned, and licensed. It isn't about the visitation. It isn't about the love. It's really about legitimacy. And the state should tread very lightly in calling legitimate something that obviously to everyone involved, male and female, cannot be legitimate.
Listen,
I'm Todd Wilkin.
Afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.